14 years ago this past weekend, Iraq sprayed poison gas on one of its own towns, Halabja. Halabja is in the north of the country. It's a Kurdish town, and at the time there was a war going on between Iraq and neighboring Iran. Jeffrey Goldberg, staff writer for The New Yorker magazine, visited the region this year and has written a lengthy article in the March 25th issue of the magazine about what he found there. The article tells of the terrible health consequences for the Iraqi Kurds who were exposed to the chemical attack. It bolsters speculation that it may have been a biological attack as well, and it includes some evidence of a link between Iraq and al-Qaeda. Jeffrey Goldberg, first, the alleged link between Baghdad and Osama bin Laden's network. What is the evidence?
In northern Iraq, in the area controlled by the Kurds, is a terrorist organization called the Ansar al-Islam, which means supporters of Islam. The leaders of this particular organization report to both Saddam's intelligence service and to al-Qaeda. The Kurds have in their prisons quite a number of members of this group and members of other groups, and they allowed me to interview some of these men over a couple of days. The prisoners I met include members of this organization, as well as a man who says he was a smuggler for Osama bin Laden's organization directly. He said Iraq's intelligence service would supply weapons to al-Qaeda through a smuggling network. One of the other prisoners I met was an intelligence agent of Iraq who was captured by the Kurds, who said that, yes, it is true, this man is in fact an employee of Iraqi intelligence, that in fact Saddam Hussein's intelligence service and al-Qaeda have found, let's say, they've made an arrangement that benefits both of them. The most interesting thing to me, however, was not these particulars of these allegations. The most interesting thing to me was that, to the best of my knowledge, I was the first American to be interviewing them. And I asked the Kurds, why are you telling me everything that you're telling me, and why are you allowing me access to all these prisoners? And they said, well, look, we're trying to get someone in Washington interested in the problem we have here. So we're hoping that you can go back and tell them.
Well, there's certainly no secret that the Kurds would like the U.S. to try to oust Saddam Hussein. And advocates of an attack on Iraq have been trying to argue that there is a connection, either past or potentially future, between Osama bin Laden and Iraq, or terrorism and Iraq. To what extent is it possible that you've gotten an embroidered version of events from the Kurds or from their prisoners there to try to advance that case in Washington, precisely as you say they told you?
I was wary, of course. I also understand that all intelligence is colored by motivation. I have no satellites of my own, obviously. I'm not capable of assessing the full import of these allegations. I think they're credible. The people who run the Kurdish intelligence agencies seem to me very credible. And the only thing I would say is that it sounds as if this would warrant further American investigation.
Now, I should say this is only one part of a rather long article that you've written.
That's right.
Much of which is about the public health legacy, the disastrous public health legacy of the gas attacks in northern Iraq, and the possibility that they also were biological agents as well as chemical weapons.
Well, it's funny that we've been talking about this al-Qaeda connection, because I went not knowing anything about that. I, in fact, went to Kurdistan in order to report on the long-term effects of chemical weapons on a civilian population. What you have there is a unique population. You have women and children by the thousands who are suffering the long-term effects of chemical weapons. And I was always curious to figure out why America in particular never bothered to go over there, the American government never bothered to go over there and investigate this, especially in the wake of the anthrax scare and in our preoccupation with the possibility that we ourselves are going to become targets of chemical and biological attack. And the things I found were quite extraordinary. There have been no systematic studies of this population, even though it happened 14 years ago. But what I found, and what the few scientists who know anything about this have found, is that the effects of these weapons on these people have been profound in terms of not only in the generation of people who were exposed, but the children who were born afterwards, in terms of leukemias and neural tube defects, blindness, retardation, all types of congenital malformations that these doctors are seeing in levels they've never seen before. And of course, you're dealing with the adults who survived, who are developing cancers, colon cancer in particular, some liver cancer, who are blind still to this day. The effects of these weapons really seem to be quite extraordinary. And in terms of the biological, it's very interesting. One of the things we don't know for sure about what happened there is what weapons were used.
Mm-hmm.
We think mustard gas was used. We're pretty sure mustard gas was used. We know that a combination of nerve agents were used. The Kurdish doctors, who are operating, unfortunately, in an information vacuum, have suspicions that a biological agent called aflatoxin was also used. There's no proof that it was. There's no proof that it wasn't, of course, but there's no proof that it was. However, it raises, again, it's along the same lines. It raises a question of why we haven't gone in and tried to figure these questions out.
Jeffrey Goldberg of the New Yorker magazine, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.